welcome one and all once again to Dual Episode 150. I am joined this week by Martin.
Hi.
Daniel.
Greetings.
And Jason.
Salutations.
Okay, apparently you all had your things written out. Anyhow, actually was a very eventful week in news for gaming. Not necessarily all good stuff, but eventful. But before we get there, have you folks been playing any of the terrific new releases this week?
Played Space Marine. I finished Space Marine, should I say.
It's not exactly a release of this week, though.
Yeah, I finished The Wolf Among Us, but that's pretty
awesome. we were talking about the terrific games that were coming out in August, and this week just exemplifies that with literally nothing coming out on anything. I think the biggest release of the week was probably Super Mario Kart on the Virtual Console for us.
Wow.
I can't think of any other game that came out this week.
Me neither.
And Europe has had Super Mario Kart on Wii U for ages.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the second biggest release would have been the Ninja Turtles game on a 3DS, which they're so kind as to nobody has any coverage on, so I'm assuming it's a fantastic game.
That's a totally reasonable assumption.
Yeah, I mean, licensed game on 3DS, not exactly gonna jump out for clicks.
Especially being that the Ninja Turtles games recently have been top of the line stuff. And those are the games they were showing off. Yes. Anything else? I the only thing I've been playing this week is I've been trying to play some more Pokemon X. I do want to beat it. I'm taking my sweet time with that. My addition to Candy Crush Saga continues. It's a year and a half.
So you're like a fish.
Yes, I make a fish. I'm not that sure at going at Pokemon, but I can't believe they found the gimmick to resurrect that. And I can't believe that you have 20,000 people watching it.
Did the fish leave the first room, or...?
I think it eventually left the first room.
Okay.
Last I heard, it, like, chose its Pokemon, beat Gary or the rival or whatever, and then went back to the room.
Oh, it actually won a battle, though. That's impressive.
Yeah.
And we've already started seeing really dumb spin-offs of it, because there is, and I shit you not, there is Rock Players Pokemon.
How would that even
You can work? Even search it on Twitch. It is a thing that exists. And that's the point, is it doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
How long until more animals get involved in this, like, hamster plays Pokemon?
Or... I think a hamster would be more entertaining.
Yeah, the fish is, like, such a low thing that you can't really, like, rock is the only thing you can go below it.
Yeah, the only thing that I know from the fish plays Pokemon is apparently everybody declares the fish dead, like, every 10 minutes.
Well, this was all the people that never had fish.
Yeah, I don't know what type of pets they expect fish to be, but they are very low maintenance for a reason. They eat and they sleep pretty much the entire day. Now, if it was something like dog chase Pokemon, it'd be a chaotic mess, but...
It would probably also be quite difficult, because dogs just can't stay in one place.
Yeah, that's why it'd be chaotic. They would just be running back and forth in a circle. I honestly don't know what they expected this, because, I mean, even with the Twitch page, like, you had some type of logic. The fish has no logic. He's just... And never mind. We're spending way too much time on it.
Well, it's not like we have releases to talk about.
Yeah, not our fault. It's the perfect time to... I guess to segue, it would have been the perfect time to release all of these HD remakes or remasters or definitive editions that everybody seems to be doing. Which is not the big news of the week, but we did get announcement of another one, Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
And PC, which is the most annoying thing, if you ask me.
Make any sense?
Just to back up, I'm not going to get into this. Me and Jason had this discussion earlier this week. I'm not a huge fan of these types of releases. But the big thing with Sleeping Dogs, compared to any other game that I can think of, is that it's been given away for free on both 360 and PS3.
Yeah,
so,
and it's dirt cheap. It goes dirt cheap in every Steam sale as well.
But yeah, so it's like you can't say like the people who've been wanting to play Sleeping Dogs but haven't gotten a chance to play Sleeping Dogs. It's really you've been given a chance to get it for free at least two different times on both systems. That's 160 million people who've had a chance to play this game for free.
I actually have an excuse though, because they didn't put it up on the German PlayStation Plus thing.
Well, you people are just weird.
Yeah.
But you had.
We still don't know why though, because they never gave us a reason.
And you know you're gonna have your 360.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I played it when it was Games for Gold. I think it was Games for Gold February of this year. It was a Game for Gold this year. So it's not even like it was something that Microsoft gave away. Like the PlayStation stuff, I think it was like last year. That's okay. But the Xbox 360 version came out this year as a free game. And I believe it's full price.
Yeah.
They won $60 for that, yeah.
So... yeah, I honestly don't know the market for this. Like, Last of Us, I got Sony's excuse was for people who own the 360 and never got a chance. That, even though I don't necessarily buy it, that's a reasonable excuse. This one, I don't know what your excuse is.
I'm, you know, before they announced the price, or before I saw it more, to be fair, I felt like, it's Square Enix, they're probably totally going to ask $60 for it. And of course they did, because they did the same thing for the Tomb Raider definitive thing. And I think it's kind of outrageous to ask that much money for late port.
Yeah,
and they can't even, I mean, for the PC users, they can't even say, oh yeah, we're fixing the game for like this really big black mark on the gameplay because the game was great. There were no big black marks. So what are you going to sell us, what?
And you already have the
DLC. You're going to sell us the fucking the free high-resolution texture pack that you already released on day one? Fuck off, Square Enix.
Yeah,
It's kind of ridiculous. Especially compared to, like, someone who does it way better, apparently. If you look at Deep Silver and what they're doing with Metro Redux, they're giving you two games and they're only asking $40 for it.
Yeah. And if you already have the original...
reasonable, right?
If you have the original, they're also giving you half off of it if you want to upgrade, right?
And they're changing 2033's mechanics so they work like last light.
They're actually doing a lot of changes.
And the cool thing that I saw is when they said, oh yeah, and by the way, we're joining the levels together, and I was like, that is really cool, I like that.
Yeah, they actually put effort into it. Apparently the console versions are great, rock solid 60 frames per second on both consoles. Xbox One resolution is a bit lower, but it's still pretty high, so it's not much of an issue. And they're making all these changes, and giving you all the DLC. And they're putting out two games for cheaper than a full game. I don't know what excuse Square Enix has here.
And the worst thing is that people were like, I'm going to buy it just to sort of so Square Enix know how interested I am for a sequel. Like, they knew that. They would know when you, A, bought the game in the first place, or B, bought the DLC for it, you know? I bought all of the gameplay DLC that comes to Mexico and goes, fuck off.
Yep.
You know, I bought the game, and I bought all the gameplay DLC for that game. And, you know, I want a sequel, because I've given them my money for the first one. I'm not going to buy the game a second time just to tell them... Here's I want a sequel. I want a sequel now.
It is kind of weird to think about. I believe I think three of the last Square Enix games have been ports, or like they did the Final Fantasy X and X-2. They did Kingdom Hearts 1.5. They have this. I think the only new game in between that was Lightning Return.
They also did
Thief.
Yeah, Thief. Yeah, but they also had the Deus Ex. Port.
Yeah, and then they have Kingdom Hearts 2.5 for the end of the year as well.
Yep.
I guess they really are taking their sweet time with that HD development. On the other end of the spectrum, and I found this one funny, not because it's shocking, because it is Capcom, but how they went about upgrading their game, but Capcom announced Resident Evil Remastered. Remake, remastered, I don't know what you want to call it.
Yeah, Resident Evil Remake Remastered, I guess, makes sense. To be honest, it doesn't make sense. They like to talk, say it's remastered. But to be honest, that's not remastering what they are doing.
If you've played a Capcom HD port before, you will know how shit the remastering is going to be. I have played Devil May Cry Collection on PS3, and it will, and it runs worse than it does on the PS2, and it still looks the same.
Yeah, I think it's basically an uprise of that, but that's not even the thing. If I'm not mistaken, in order for them to get quote-unquote true 1080p, they basically just have the full-screen game and they pan and scan?
Yeah, well, they blow the 4:3 up and then they crop it to get 16:9. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And on top of that, those backgrounds were pre-rendered. So and obviously they are not re-rendering any of that. So you have some low-res picture that's zoomed in on your big screen, and they put a bunch of sharpening filters on top of it.
I have a Wii. I'll go buy the original if I really wanted to play it, you know.
Or the superior Wii port.
Or I'd fucking use Dolphin. I'll emulate it on Dolphin, because that'll probably produce better results.
It actually does. I have seen screenshots.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I said, it's not that I'm surprised. I mean, Capcom has literally ported this game to anything that would run it over the past decade.
Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, that was Resident Evil 4. But we are talking Resident Evil Remake. That was just on GameCube and Wii.
They put Resi 4 on every single thing.
Because it's a PlayStation original. I believe it was also on the Dreamcast.
No, this is the GameCube.
I know. I'm just saying the remastered or remake, which was at the time a really good remake.
Yep.
It was actually a remake.
Yeah, they actually went in and did work. Now it's just like, oh, we did it well once, guys. You want us to do it again, really?
That's only coming to Wii U.
Yeah.
It's a GameCube game, and it's not coming to Wii U, which is ridiculous.
I mean, to be fair, you have access to it on the Wii U if you have a Wii version. Even though I think that was a limited run as well.
I'm not sure.
Because they did the Resident Evil Archive.
Yeah. I do want to say, though, I'm not dissing the game here. The game is actually fantastic. It's a great remake, and it actually did everything right. It's just that this is just really a piss-poor effort, and calling this remastered is just... Again,
as usual, it's Capcom fucking it up. Not like they have a good game, but they treat it in the worst way that they possibly could.
Yeah. Or they're doing the least amount of work to get people to rebuy their games again, and from what it seems, people are going to rebuy it again.
And it's digital only. There are some people that don't like that either. It's digital only.
I'm already looking forward to the pricing of it, because we've seen the least pricing of it, and it's I know.
Yeah, and I can't. I mean, honestly speaking, I think a lot of people at this point just do it. Granted, if you're gonna do that, because they half-assed this to 2 and 3 the first time as well. It's like they just re-released those ports and didn't bother to upgrade them. So you know, if you're gonna do that and be AC, at least try to like upgrade 2 and 3 as well for fans. I mean, to be fair, I'm not sure where people stand with Resident Evil, because I'm assuming they probably don't want a Resident Evil 7 after 6.
I think people are just tired of Resident Evil, like in general, because they can't get the old games in a form that like Capcom can't respect the old games, and when they fucking port them, and they can't make new ones that are good. So
I disagree with that. I think people are entitled to them. I think they want a good Resident Evil game, and I think what they keep on getting isn't what they want.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm saying is like, because they're not ever going to get a good version of any Resident Evil game ever again.
Well, I've heard good things about Revelations.
Yeah, I liked Revelations a lot, actually. I liked it more than Resident Evil 5.
Yeah, but then 6 came out, so people just given up.
Yep. Oh yeah, they can't port one of
the best remakes ever made properly, and they can't make a new Resident Evil game. So what can they do, you know?
It is kind of funny though, because slightly related to this, there was an announcement that they are trying to do a Resident Evil TV show. Sure. And people were getting upset because heck, it's going to ruin the brand. And I'm just thinking, I don't think there's much left to ruin at this point. I mean,
the games are shit, the movies are shit, so, I mean, you know,
Yeah, it could get ruined, a brand at this point. I mean, it's only going to help expose it more, but I don't think you can tarnish it any more than Capcom has done over the past 5 or 6 years. And it's not just the core games. I mean, stuff like Operation Raccoon City didn't receive well either. And I think the 3DS game did, and I'm surprised. Did they ever port that up to any other system?
Yeah.
Revelations,
you mean?
Yeah, Revelations is on 360, PS3, and PC.
Mercenaries.
Oh, no.
No, because that's part of Resi 5 anyway.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, but it was like, there was a more fleshed out version because they sold it for full price. But yeah. And they wanted a multiplayer Resident Evil game. For some reason, they did Operation Raccoon City. Anyhow, enough about that. It was not a good week for non-cheap HD remastered remake announcements. And I guess on the same note, to kind of put a dagger in Daniel's heart, Crytek announced that they have no plans whatsoever to do a time for this game.
I don't understand. Like, you could have just said, look, Deep Silver, if you just give me 20K more, right, you can have this IP. We get 20K, you get a new IP, great. And they didn't sell it. Waste of fucking time. If you're not going to make a fucking Tarsus game and you're not going to sell the IP, what's the point?
Well, I imagine it's probably because the IP is probably not worth a lot nowadays. I mean, the last game is over about a decade old now.
But that's what I'm saying.
But
and that's exactly what I'm saying.
If you can't pay your employees, like, any amount of cash is going to be worth
well,
it.
Oh, yeah, but like, I mean, but the assumption is that the other party was interested in buying.
Like, if I was a company like Deep Silver and Crytek was saying, look, we have this franchise that we don't think we can do anything with. 20K, that's chump change, that's pennies for companies like that. You know, you find that down the back of the sofa, right?
Yeah, but
20K or something like that, I don't know.
That's hardly, that's probably 2 employees, 3, 4, I mean, based
that's
on the...
That's 1 employee a year.
Yeah, and then you have no IP.
Right.
I mean,
and then what you do is...
What you say... What do you mean?
Give it to Volition, who are great at making games that aren't serious and are fun and stuff, and then you release it to critical acclaim because Volition actually do make good games, and then you turn that 20K that you spent on buying the fucking IP off of Crytek into more than 20K.
Yeah, but again, the assumption is that they want the IP. The assumption is that the IP has any weight. And I mean, it's not like we're short on shooter franchises right now. And
I guess, but we're short of shooters that are fun. That's the problem.
I don't disagree with you, but that doesn't seem to be where the market wants to go right now. That's not where people want to invest their money. So it would be weird to be like, okay, we're going to create a fun shooter because those don't seem to be the ones that sell. Which is why they have no problem investing in Homefront, because it's like, we can go after that Call of Duty money, where there's nothing to say, like, oh, we can go after that.
I don't agree with that at all, because Saints Row made Deep Silver a lot of money. It made THQ a lot of money before that. So there's obviously value in it.
Saints Row is also, one, it's a different genre. Two, it was already half completed when they bought the company.
The only difference between Saints Row and TimeSplitters is one's in third person. That's the only real difference.
Which is
I just don't understand it.
But my point isn't that I don't want to see a new time series.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I don't understand why there's no like business in it. Deep Silver are competent at making games that aren't serious, so they could do it.
I'm sure there's a business in it. The problem is, does anybody want to take that risk right now, especially during the transitional phase between the two generations?
Well, apparently Crytek thought they could take a risk at some point because they actually bought the IP from THQ.
I thought they bought the company.
Well, we're talking about Homefront on TimeSplitters here because they bought the IP because nobody else was going to buy it. Homefront, that is. And they bought TimeSplitters because it came with the studio that they bought and they all wanted the studio for the manpower. So...
Yeah, it does kind of suck that it got lost in the shuffle, but that was not the most offensive thing he said this week.
I would hate to work for Savat Yelly after that.
Apparently a bunch of folks in Austin agree.
Yeah.
But, he came out this week, and instead of owning up to anything that his company might have done wrong, he's saying to blame on his employees for not working with him. Okay, let's see if this is the quote, I believe. Some people were very impatient and got angry at the smallest AA. Also, there was a critique of us not being proactive in communication, which we don't understand, because we had been frequently in the UK as well as every other studio talking about potentially rough times, and we have even shared with people how they should maybe work with different banks at a personal level to prepare. Or if not, they could make a choice to resign and look for other jobs. But our priority was not to downsize the company. Our priority was to not let anybody lose their jobs at that point. Because if a company gets into a difficult situation and you know the outcome is going to be bad, you have the choice to downsize everything. But we haven't done that because we wanted to keep everybody tied together as a team. I was surprised and upset a little bit that the intention of us keeping together everybody upset a few of them. But I understand the situation. Some people live in a very tight financial planning. That's their privacy. They can do whatever they want. Those guys, when they get under pressure, it can become emotional. We try to individually help out. Like if somebody got in trouble, they could talk to us directly so they don't get under pressure. We tried whatever we could do, but you can't make it right for everybody. So basically, it's not our fault. It's that you didn't take personal responsibility when you knew
we were
going to
be... The best quote from that article is...
What?
You have two choices, right? Either you delay payments, again, delay. It's not that they didn't get paid, they got delayed. Delay payments and salvage the company, or you push your cash flow directly to the studios and you file for insolvency. Both options are really bad, so you have to make the better of the two bad decisions. That is the worst thing. Like, you have no respect for the people that work for you. I'm pretty sure that most people would rather just somebody say to you, look, I can't afford to pay you anymore. I'm going to have to let you go. Then, oh, we'll give you your money, but you're going to have to wait for it.
Also, I was kind of confused by his comment about, like, work with banks. What did he expect
for
people to do?
Take
loans
out loan.
For
yeah,
your...
Yeah.
For basically your own loan and then have to pay that back.
And
you don't even know if you can pay that back.
And this is the thing, is like it gets to a point where like somebody's going to be sitting there going, I have a job and I should be getting paid, but instead I'm being told to go to the bank and ask them for money. And then the bank's going to want to know why I'm asking for money. And when I tell them, oh, yeah, I'm not getting paid my employer, they're going to go, why not? You know? It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah,
and just loads of funny things in this interview. Like, where is it?
Well, he's looking for that.
So, no crisis four in development right now. And Sevat Yerli says, "I don't know," as if to say, "Oh, he doesn't know what goes on in his company." Even though at the start of every crisis game, it says a Sevat Yerli game. You know? Fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's, I mean, he comes off as one of those people who's like, he doesn't understand it from a personal level. He's like, yes, they knew that it was coming. They should have just had their money ready and saved up. Where it's like, there's a lot of people who live paycheck to paycheck or probably don't see this coming. You can't tell them after it's happening that you should prepare for it. Mm-hmm. And be upset that they don't wait until it works out for you. Because people do like to get paid. People, you know, I'm sure they didn't want to break up the team. I'm sure they enjoy working with these other people. The other thing is, I like how he says to resign and not necessarily find another job in the end. It's like, okay, you leave us and then you go be your own thing or whatever, so we don't have to pay you. But yeah, it comes off as one of those people who doesn't understand the individual struggles and it's just speaking in broad terms as to why they couldn't all prepare. I mean, even if I'm sure some people took his advice, but everybody can't do it. And then saying, like, oh, we made visits to these companies. I don't know why they didn't say we were talking to them. Like, yeah, we showed up, like, once a month, and they said we weren't talking. How dare they? But, yeah, there's a reason that people hire PR coordinators, and there's a reason why he probably shouldn't have spoken like this.
And you know what? I'm kind of glad that he was honest about it. But at the same time, like, reading this makes me not want to work for somebody like, for Crytek. Like, because, you know, there's nothing that's going to say that this isn't going to happen again. And Sevat Yerli clearly has no respect for the people that he employs.
Yeah, or he doesn't see them as people more than a workforce, and they really shouldn't be concerned about their lives because they Crytek was getting their house in order. Because a lot of it, I think a lot of part of the subtext as well was that he didn't want it to look bad on Crytek when they downsize people, because if you downsize people, there tends to be a negative stigma associated with your company that you're not doing well. And I think that is true. It's worse when everybody comes out saying they're not getting paid and needs your company.
Yeah.
Also, I want to say one more thing. They have there was one more thing that came out of this interview, I guess. Rise 2. Shevard basically said that he wasn't happy with the sales of the first one because of how low the Xbox One sales are, so he doesn't see making a sequel at this point.
Oh, what a shame. Oh, everybody's going to miss Rise 2. Shit!
That wasn't even my main point, but of course. We heard that Microsoft was, for God knows what reason, interested in actually buying that IP. So if they don't intend to make a new Rise, they could have probably sold that IP to probably help out their employees.
Especially they chose not to. Microsoft was actually interested in picking it up. And Microsoft is a company that has a lot of money.
Yep.
I was also going to say, as part of that, they did announce the Rise PC port this week as well.
Yeah. So you can have a fucking mediocre-ass game in 4K now. Good, yep. Can't wait.
I was about to say, Jason enjoys the game. I'm sure he doesn't enjoy you folks picking on it.
Which game?
Arise.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's not like, you know, a game of the year type of game, but I don't know. Have any of you guys actually played it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I played.
I mean, I thought it was enjoyable.
At convention, I thought it was terrible.
Well, I mean, I played it all the way through. It's like, it's a great graphical showcase. I'm a big fan of just like, you know, the Roman Empire in fiction, and there's not many games that are set in that time period, especially action games.
Yeah, but so, it would be great if a great game were to come with the scenario.
It was a pretty good game.
I agree. It's not like historically accurate. It's like very much has like fantasy elements, and it's. But I thought it was fun, you know. And I really don't understand the complaint that it's repetitive. No more, unless you just think that entire genre is competitive, and that's your opinion. But I mean, as someone who likes action games, who likes, you know, God of War and Darksiders and Ninja Gaiden and all those, like, I thought it was really fun.
I do think action games can be repetitive, which is why they tend to introduce new enemies and new weapons throughout, sprinkles up your system. But yeah, I think I can understand why Microsoft would want to buy the new IP. It probably didn't sell to what Crytek expected, but it did have somewhat of a following, being a launch title. And I assume Microsoft figured they could build on it. It's a nice historical setting. It has a name IP. And we've seen that gamers are willing to give a game at least two chances before completely writing it off. So if they had really revamped Rise 2.
Yeah, and I think certain aspects of it, like, you could tell, like, you know, it's, Any launch games could be hamstrung by needing to make that date, right? So it's gonna be especially for a new IP, you're gonna see some potential that wasn't realized. And obviously, if you get a chance at a sequel, you're not gonna have the same constraints. And I would personally love to see a Rise 2, but I'm not.
You know
really,
what annoys me the most about this though is they talk about Rise 2 as if it's something that they could theoretically do in the future, but that goes against their whole new business model now, you know? They're doing it again, still, where they talk about, oh, yeah, well, we've had a bit of struggles transitioning from our AAA business model to free-to-play only, and it's not gonna happen immediately. But then they're talking about Rise 2, and it's like, that's what? Just, like, can you have, like, one message, please? Like, I mean, yes, I understand you're going to have to make a few more AAA like games before you transition to 100% free to play. But you've been talking about this for years now.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. One day
I have just as much faith that we'll see Rise 2 as I do in Time Splitters 4. So, which is
oh, dagger to the heart. Dagger to the heart.
Rise 2. suppose.
I mean, if anything, I expect both of those before they ask Guardian. Anyhow.
Bold statements being made.
At least, for the last Guardian, like, there are statements being made that it's an active development, which is more than can be said for either Rise 2 or Time Splitters. Just saying.
That's true.
I would love to see both, or all three of those games, but who knows?
Who knows?
I kind of don't no longer care about any of those games.
You know what we won't be seeing this year? Evolve. Which got pushed back to February of 2015. I'm assuming hopefully to add more gameplay modes, because right now I still don't know how that 4v1 is going to last more than a weekend.
Well, I've seen the game being played, and I still don't quite get it, but, like, I can see where the longevity is, because, like, most of the time, it's not the guy that's playing as the monster attacking the four humans. Like, most of the round is spent the one guy playing as the monster preparing to attack the four people. So the rest of the game just behaves like Left 4 Dead, as far as I can tell.
For the four humans. But problem is, if there isn't enough content, it's still not going to have much of longevity.
That's true, and I think that's probably what we're delayed for.
Yeah.
Because most of it looks pretty, I wouldn't say polished, but most of it looks pretty sort of locked in place.
Yeah. I think it looks solid. I'm not like,
yeah,
super
it looks pretty good, but I don't care about it at the same time.
Yeah. It's for me like, yeah, it's Left 4 Dead like, but just basically for versus mode, but the evil side is basically just one monster, and, well, you better have lots of content to keep it interesting.
The problem I have with is I was going to get a PS4 this year, and now I made the mistake of looking at the release list the other day, and I was like, there is nothing here. It's all gone. What happened to it?
You want to play Destiny.
I want to play Destiny, but I don't know if I want to.
I can't say it anymore.
you will play a lot of Destiny.
A lot of Destiny.
Yeah,
it better carry you till February.
Because right
now, February of next year seems extremely packed.
Yeah.
The
other thing about Evolve is I kind of think that game would have been lost in the shuffle.
I think it's going to be lost in the shuffle in February of next year as well. Like, I think more so. Because what else?
I mean, you have Evolve, The Order, and The Witcher. What else is in February?
There's rumors of Arkham Knight. And I think some people were saying Bloodborne, even though I don't think that's going to happen.
Bloodborne is definitely early next year, though.
Yeah. And Dying Light, I think, is also out next February. There's a couple of games where, especially as far as, like, you know, with the PS4 with the Order being that big exclusive in that window, and then with Battlefield moving into early next year as well, then you still have that shooter competition.
Yep.
I mean, I understand, I get your point, because where it was originally, it was sandwiched between Destiny, Battlefield, and Call of Duty, where with Battlefield, it was a sandwich between Destiny and Call of Duty, which was a fair point to put it, because it was about 3 weeks away from either one in either direction.
But let's be honest, it's not just competition with shooters. There's a lot of other big titles coming out around the time as well.
But a lot of those have moved out now. Like, it had a pretty wide window, because Dragon Age moved, Battlefield moved.
What was the exact date?
I think it was the 7th, which was the big day that people were afraid
of. It wasn't on the 7th. I think it was later in the month.
Okay. Oh, I guess another big competition would have been Alien Isolation, which is also out that month.
And Shadow of Mordor.
I mean,
there's also the whole aspect that the game just probably wouldn't have been ready.
And especially
for a new IP, I mean, you can't afford to come out of the gates looking like Battlefield 4.
Yeah, and I assume that's why EA delayed Hard Drives. Wow. I was also going to say, and this kind of ties back into the Crytek thing, is that sales of current-gen systems are probably not where some people want them. Like, the PS4 is doing really well. The Xbox One isn't as much. I think we talked about it last week, where I think in the last quarter it was outshipped 3-1. So
I mean, I don't think if you're just delaying from October to February that that's really going to play any part in that decision, because
if you're launching in October,
you're counting on holiday sales anyway.
You're counting on holiday sales after your launch because the bulk of those sales are November, December for us. Those are the two biggest months of the year as far as sales go.
Yeah, but it's the same customers. Like, either they're going to pick up the game with their new hardware, or they're going to have recently gotten new hardware and pick up the game for it anyway. Like, there's going to be January and February of extra sales, but, like, let's be honest, that's not that much.
Yeah, but I think the assumption on the back end is that you have these people who got their new systems in November and December, and they probably played the games they got at Christmas, so we'll put it right there when they finish, and they're looking for something new, and we can be like, oh, here's our commercials for Evolve, this looks interesting, let me check this out. I'm not saying it's going to work, but I'm saying that makes more sense in October, and then you buy the systems later on, and Evolve, like, we've said this before, video games are old news once they're out. So Evolve's out, it's like, are people going to be talking about it in November, December?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the answer to that question is definitely going to be no.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair,
it was out this year.
It's kind of like, I mean, I feel like for Evolve, it's kind of going to be like Titanfall, but maybe with less sales. Because, I mean, let's be honest here, we heard that the Titanfall is kind of dying down multiplayer-wise. They had problems getting people together for some modes on the PC version, for example, and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's still pretty... The community is still pretty robust on Xbox One, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an active community. I think the thing is that what they're going to need to do is see if they can get people invested in it again at the end of the year. And I don't know, because so far the DLC hasn't really seemed to reinvigorate any type of interest in the franchise, the game.
If we're talking about Titanfall, that's because it's not solving the problems that the game has.
Yeah, that's why I'm curious to see if they can have a new push at the end of the year, which would make sense. I mean, that is when I think DLC makes sense, is like at the end of the year you want to have a new push. So maybe introduce a new mode, introduce something that gets people talking about it again, and not
how much of a whimper the DLC has been, right? I have the season pass, and the last DLC pack came out, and I didn't bat an eyelid. I was like, oh, okay, there's no DLC, and I didn't bother reinstalling the game. I didn't even look at any videos of it. I just didn't care, because I knew it was just going to be more maps, and maps is not a thing that Titanfall needed. It had plenty of those.
Yeah, I mean, I assume Microsoft's going to be throwing Titanfall and like a Forza and see with a holiday bundle as well.
I could see a Titanfall Game of the Year edition or whatever, where they bundle the DLC and repackage it in time for the end of the year sales.
Oh, that won't make... I mean, their DLC schedule doesn't finish by the end of the year, so that I don't think that would work. Unless you're just talking about bundling the season pass.
That hasn't stopped anybody before.
Yeah. Back to Evolvo, I'm curious... I hope I get to check that out next week, so maybe I can understand more why some people are excited about it.
I think it looks fun. I just think it looks extremely limited, because all they've shown is, like, yes, you get different monsters and you get different classes, but it's still the core same mode over and over again.
Yeah. I mean, maybe when I actually play it, I get more of an impression how that really is the case, or whatever.
Well, I assume so, because everybody came out of E3 extremely excited about
that.
But what we did get in place of Evolve is we have a second Assassin's Creed game for this year.
Good.
I think that's all we have to say about that, really. Honestly, I don't even know what's the purpose of this one, other than to give people a bone. It's
money.
It's to pander to the people that still own Xbox 360s and PS3s, because that's all that's coming out on.
It's not even released
on PC.
It's the you are not ready to upgrade yet edition.
While we're going to make fun of it, obviously, because it is kind of funny, like, if they're, at least they're dedicating the Unity game to next gen hardware, and then obviously they want, from a business perspective, they want sales on last gen because the installed base is so much larger. So this is kind of a weird, you know, middle ground that serves both purposes really well.
Should have called
really
it Assassin's Creed Ascension Judgment.
I'd rather have them do this than have another game that's cross-gen. I'd just put it that way.
Jason, I agree, but it still doesn't mean I have any interest in that title.
Oh, no, absolutely. I've played every Assassin's Creed game so far, and I have no intention of touching Rogue, but, like, I can see why it exists.
Yeah. I can as well. That just seems absolutely uninteresting to me. But to be fair, even Unity at this point seems kind of uninteresting to me.
Yeah, I'm pretty lukewarm on it, too.
And they're coming out, is it 2 weeks apart?
I'm not sure.
I think one's end of October, one's early November.
Okay. Which one comes out earlier? The last gen one?
I think it's the last gen one. I was going to ask what it is. I was going to ask what is it fit storyline-wise.
No, I would more say, like, if you need your Assassin's Creed fix earlier, you can also buy this game.
It kind of, like, I mean, I have no right to dictate what people's purchasing habits are, and I guess you could call me a hypocrite because I plan on buying both versions of the Pokemon remakes, but some people are just like, well, I guess I'm buying two Assassin's Creed games this year, and it's like, oh, God. Please don't encourage Ubisoft.
To be fair to them, it is two different games, so I can understand why they would want to buy it. I wouldn't, but I can understand why they would want to. Especially if you're one of those people who follow the Assassin's Creed storyline, because there's apparently a storyline to follow.
There still is a storyline.
I mean, there is a storyline that is factual.
I don't know if you can.
It's completely gone off the rails, but, you know, it's there.
No, people enjoy Metal Gear, and that's gone off the rails ages ago.
No, not the same way.
The difference with Metal Gear more than I understand what the fuck is going on with this.
And the difference with Metal Gear is Metal Gear doesn't take itself too seriously, so you can at least laugh at Metal Gear every now and then. Whereas, because I like Metal Gear because it's really campy, whereas Assassin's Creed just plays it too straight.
Oh, I just checked the Gamescom thing. Apparently, Assassin's Creed Rogue will be playable, but not Unity. That's just a video.
Are either of you guys going next week?
I'm going, yeah. Nice. Jesus, great. At least I know I don't have to show up at Ubisoft.
What else? Never mind. I was going to say, what else did they have this year? But
Far Cry 4, I guess, is also playable.
Yeah.
It's worth checking out, but...
Which they've kept quiet since E3.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also kind of funny because people were making fun of the fact, and I kind of agree, if you look at the two box arts, it literally looks like the same white dude.
Box arts go these days?
He just doesn't have three friends with him. So yeah, that's that. So I guess the other big news of this week was that Casey Hudson left BioWare.
Just after I get into Mass Effect, should I say?
So this it's your fault.
Every time. This happens every time, Jason, you will not believe. I bought Virtue's Last Reward off the Nintendo eShop because it was on sale, and I figured, you know what, I should buy the prequel and play that, right? And the very day that I bought the prequel for import on Amazon, right, the finale of the series got cancelled. Happens all the time.
Man. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a bummer. I mean, we know he's working on BioWare's new IP, and supposedly that's set for a reveal pretty soon, maybe next week, so... I don't know. I'll be interested to see what he does next, but it's kind of weird that BioWare doesn't have him or either of the doctors anymore.
But they have EA.
I mean, they have a lot of the same talent still. Like, you know, the studio is obviously more than three people, but those are three big names that are no longer there.
Yeah, to be fair, studio is only one person. It's the guy or girl who you know, and everybody else works on the game in secret.
Well, for me, it's like the the BioWare I loved and played shit of GameSoft doesn't seem to exist anymore. And for me, the time frame is basically Baldur's Gate until KOTOR.
And this is the thing, is the things that BioWare made that I liked the most were KOTOR and the Mass Effect games, and they were all thanks to Casey Hudson, pretty much. So...
Casey Hudson was also involved with Neverwinter Nights and...
Yeah.
Baldur's Gate, Shadows of Am.
So it's a big loss. It's a shame.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I guess that leaves us with the big event of the week. This coming week is Gamescom, which we've really haven't hinted at all during this show.
No.
And Martin will be attending that.
Yep.
So we've gotten some teases and stuff about that. We know that Sony and Microsoft both have press conferences this week,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Sony's is, I want to say, Tuesday night?
Yes. I think Microsoft is Tuesday morning, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. So both this week, and we expect a lot of... Martin is excited to get his hands on WWE 2K15, finally.
I'm totally... If I am able to, I will try to check that out. Apparently it's going to be playable on PS4.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that it's not all one angle, because every screenshot they've revealed so far has been at this really weird shant.
with the person in the shot having the same expression on the face.
Yes, that constipated joke to them.
But it looks so far, it's pretty, but I need to see it in motion and if they do anything to the gameplay.
Yeah, I'd be curious about that. But I assume the rest of you aren't. So yeah, Sony had a teaser.
Multiple teasers.
I assume some of it is mostly related to the games that leaked out during their announcements.
Two of them basically are pretty clearly teasing Until Dawn, which we can assume be re-revealed this Gamescom, which was the
Move
title on PS3, which was a survival horror kind of game.
Hang on, did I just hear the word Move?
Yeah.
Yep.
Whoa, it's been a long time since I've heard that.
Yeah.
But didn't they released the Move game this year, didn't they? Oh, it's at the end of last year. That, what was it? Wonderbook.
That's also been a while.
Yeah, they had that detective book.
Oh, really?
I was reading something. I worked on that. I don't remember what it was called.
Wow.
It was kind of interesting for kids.
I actually wanted to check it out. It seemed like an interesting thing, but I completely forgot about Wonderbook. I hope Sony has an update on Powers, which has started filming this week.
Oh, I wanted to add to Until Dawn. I'm pretty sure it's no longer using Move.
I assume nothing is using Move.
Wait, so is that the prevailing theory on the teaser?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because Snowflake and Blood and stuff like that, and Until Dawn was all about snowy, dark stuff.
Wasn't Until Dawn like a... I mean, it was survival horror, sort of, but wasn't it like a teen... It was built as like a teen movie or something.
Yeah.
But the game follows a group of teenagers as they spend the night in a log cabin on the anniversary of the death of one of their friends.
Yeah, and the imagery so far with blood and snow and hatchet and stuff, it all resonates with that game. And I mean, it showed up on the leaked list as well, so it makes sense that it's going to be Until Dawn. Also, at first it was revealed at Gamescom like 2 years ago?
It might have even been 3.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been a while.
What else do we have?
We had Activision putting out...
Oh, I was going to say, I feel like Media Molecules would reveal that game here too. So,
talking about Sony, you mean?
Yeah, just to kind of get everything off of their plate.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, Media Molecule is rumored to show off what they are working on. Maybe an actual game, unlike the last time we've seen them.
They had that demo from... the E3 2000. No, not the pre-Sony event.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That was barely a game.
I assume they're going to turn that into a game. Maybe a move title.
It was a move title, that preview.
For them,
or a move, it was a move tech demo.
Okay. Anything else from Sony? I assume we'll see more. Well, I think Bloodborne is going to be there as playable title,
Bloodborne,
right?
Is going to be playable?
How many Vita titles? Well, nobody laughs.
I'm sorry.
Is it the point? At this point, it's not even funny. It's just sad.
Today I saw that apparently Sony is putting out a Muppets game for
an exclusive Vita title. At least 6 months after the movie came out,
so
and nobody cared about it.
If that shows up at GameStorm, I guess it counts as one game. But I don't have much hope for Vita, to be honest. Not even like port wise, like bringing Japanese games over, I don't have much hope seeing much.
Well, I think if anything, we'll see more Japanese games because Japanese developers don't support consoles. It basically goes mobile, some handheld, leftovers.
Yeah, I'm just saying I don't expect to see much of that either.
Yeah.
Bloodborne will be playable. I will try. I also said I don't have an appointment with them, but if it's on the show floor, I can still maybe, like, play the press pass and get in front of everyone else and be an asshole.
That's cool, because it wasn't playable at E3.
Yeah.
So
should be interesting. I'm definitely looking forward to at least trying that, or at least seeing it would be good, I think, but trying it would be even better, because I'm really curious where they're taking these concepts. What else, Sony? I'm kind of still hoping maybe...
Oh, well, Little Big Planet 3 will be there, but that's a known quantity.
I'm kind of still hoping maybe we hear again something about Shadow of the Beast. That would be interesting.
The Asgardian.
Drive Club?
Drive Club will be there.
Yeah.
Playable.
When was the last time they updated us on Drive Club?
Last Guardian will definitely not be there.
The last time they updated it, was when they delayed it, wasn't it?
Did they have it at E3?
Yeah.
They had it there, yeah, but they didn't make a big deal about it.
I was in the booth. It got a really positive reception at E3, actually. I think
it's
definitely, you can tell that the extra year was well needed, or much needed.
I mean, if it turns out to be a better game for this, I mean, it's a big delay, but it turns out to be a better game for it, then more power to them.
Yeah, I think at least at E3, like, it definitely seem that way. That it's I mean, compared to a year ago, mm-hmm. Completely different game. It's actually fun now.
What else might Sony have? I think Rime will be there, playable, if I'm not mistaken.
No Man's
that
Sky.
Could be interesting. I'm not sure if.
Oh, No Man's Sky. That's supposed to be out by the end of the year, right?
No,
I don't think that. I don't think so. I think they... I mean, it's been such a vague thing with that game. Like, there's no release window. Like, I don't know if it was this week or last week a bunch of people made headlines about it not being PS4 exclusive, even though I don't think it was ever sold as such. It's really weird. It's just, like, there's no information out there as far as, like, concrete details.
Yeah. It's still a super interesting game.
Maybe
we should talk about Microsoft. What do we expect from Microsoft?
Well, we know that this is going to be the first gameplay of Quantum Break.
Break. Is it going to be playable? I think so, right?
I have no idea. All they
it
said
would be
is
really bad if they were to demo the gameplay and then say, no, you can't play it.
I think there will be a demo, is what they said. So I would assume that means playable.
I'd be pretty surprised, considering how little we've seen of the game so
far. And it's supposed to be out this year, isn't it?
No, it was into next year, but it was supposed to be out this year. And this is the last, I guess, PAX Prime, but even PAX Prime is at the end of this month. You would think if they had a playable demo, they would debut it soon, because there's really not many major conventions after this month, until GDC next year.
The official word apparently is that Remedy will have a demo there. It doesn't say it's playable. Maybe they will just show it. Show a demo, but it will not be playable for public or for press. We don't know. Sadly, I don't have Microsoft appointment either, so I would have to see if they have anything in the public area.
Other than that, they haven't really teased.
Probably, what is it, Fable Legends? That was playable at E3, and I believe that's an early 2015 title.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's an early never title.
Beta is supposed to come out, I think, out of a year, so that's definitely going to be playable on the show floor, I would assume.
I don't think the Master Chief Collection was playable at E3, so maybe we'll see that.
That is playable, the multiplayer, I think.
Yeah, because Master Chief Collection is also going to be at Eurogamer, so it makes sense for them to just make one demo for Gamescom. And then...
Yeah, the multiplayer mode of the Halo 2 anniversary part will be playable. So maybe I will try to get a look at that as well. Do we expect...
Forza Horizon 2?
Yeah, that's a must. I mean, if you have a racing game you bring to Gamescom, I mean...
This could have been the show floor at Eurogamer as well, so...
Do we expect...
Well, and Horizon 2 is set in Europe, so yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
Do we think Microsoft will have something new?
Microsoft new? What is this?
Probably I was going to say... I don't know if they've made a Gamescom announcement since way back when, and they announced like Mass Effect and all those other games. Like
they announced Fable 3 at Gamescom.
Maybe we'll see Rare's new project. Doubtful, but just speculating.
Hopefully, they'll have a proper project this time.
I mean, I hope for Microsoft they have something because it's. It has been a long time since they did a conference at Gamescom, so I would assume they have something.
It could just be updates, because, you know, we've already kind of had... I don't think we had this in the news, but, you know, we had the announcement of the Madden bundle and the Sunset Overdrive bundle. So probably some talk of that, maybe some more talk about their fall lineup.
About their FIFA exclusive Ultimate Team content.
Yeah, maybe. That would be... quite a disappointment if it ends up being their conference thing. I mean, I can already hear all the press people after that thing.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be surprising, though, would it? If it was.
Well, it's a weird situation because even at E3, a lot of their announcements were cool, but their promises of games far away. Like, a lot of them weren't even a gameplay. It was just, like, CG, and the stuff for this year is really... Like, at most, we're going to get updates on some of that stuff. I mean, when one of your big games is a remastered collection of older games, like, there's really not much else you can do with it. Mm. Like, they've shown off the upgraded cutscenes from Halo 2, but, like, everybody knows how the first four Halo games play because we own them. So, like, you can't spend a lot of time getting people excited about that. They can do Forza for both 360. I don't think we've seen that one yet, have we? Maybe they dropped the price on the 360. I'm surprised that neither system has hit 150 yet.
Yeah, that might be a thing. In terms of new games, I thought, like, but maybe they will have a smaller title announced. That might always be a possibility. Maybe they held some indie thing back that they might have to have something at Gamescom. I mean, Sony announced like a bunch of indie games last year. During it.
Yeah, I would expect that to continue.
Then big publishers, Activision. Activision has put out a teaser, basically, which was... I guess that might be the new logo and intro for Sierra Games, because it looks like they bring Sierra back as a label.
I really don't understand why, to be honest. Just like anybody with a brain is going to know that it's just Activision. And
well, that's not the point. There is something associated with the Sierra name. It's specific kinds of games, and... we've seen Jeff Keighley on Twitter already saying that he has some very good sources that are telling him that apparently it's a new King's Quest game made by the PBU Winterbottom guys. I forgot their name, to be honest, though. Hello?
I'm here. Nobody else is.
Did we lose people?
They're still in the call, which is really weird.
Hello?
Sorry. What's up?
You still there?
Yeah, can you not hear
me? Yeah, I think you cut out for me for a bit, but...
Okay.
You're back.
We didn't hear any of you guys for a moment, so, but it was weird.
Oh, because you were talking about games I have no interest in. Are you done with that talk?
Anyway, it's the PB Winter Wonderland is there called The Odd Gentleman. That's the developer name. I have to say, I love adventure games still, so a new King's Quest sounds good to me. If Activision actually is serious about that, that would be great. I mean, Sierra has a lot of cool stuff still that they can salvage. They have also Space Quest, they still have SWAT, Earth Siege, if anyone still remembers that besides me, and what's the big thing they had? I don't know, right now, from top right now, but yeah. I don't know, could be cool. I'm into it. Otherwise, Activision, I guess, Call of Duty will be playable. Multiplayer, probably.
A new Skylanders.
Skylanders will be playable. I actually hope we have a Skylanders appointment, because I enjoy those a lot. Destiny's playable, I guess. I'm curious what they will show there. Maybe some. I think multiplayer will be playable, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe we'll see some more modes.
Maybe they'd have balanced the vehicles.
Who knows? Does Activision have said anything else? I don't think so. EA? I guess the huge. Sports
yeah.
games? Lots of FIFA. Definitely lots of FIFA.
Dragon Age.
Dragon Age, yeah. I guess Dragon Age will be playable, if I'm not mistaken.
I would expect it to, since it comes
out this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would even think Hardline would be playable.
Yeah, Hardline, I mean, they had a
beta,
so at least they could set up the beta stations again, so yeah, but new stuff? Probably not. Updates.
Yeah, it's weird because, I mean, again, coming out of E3, we know so much of, like, this, the end of the year and next year are kind of full releases, so I'm expecting a lot of, updates.
Yeah.
And then we'll probably get new, I guess the end of the year is in flux in my head because I don't know if we're going to have the VGAs this year, which is where people tended to make their second half announcements, and if not, where do you put those announcements?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, updates are still cool. I mean, some games are still a bit far off, like early next year. So seeing some of these games will still be interesting.
Yeah.
I also happen to know that there will be some other new game announcements at Gamescom, not from these big publishers, but I know from some other people. So there will be some interesting stuff coming out of Gamescom. Personally, though, I'm mostly looking forward to, like, some smaller guys. My favorite thing is always at Gamescom is checking out Paradox, just because they have so many interesting games. And this year they apparently will have a demo of their RPG, and I'm super curious to see what their RPG looks like. Which is called Rune Master, I think. Which is like Norse mythology and stuff like that. But the really curious thing for me is they're making RPG, and it's made by the guys that made Crusader Kings 2 and Europa Universalis 4. So that to me already.
So it'll be a proper RPG then.
Lends me to think all kinds of. Rune Master is the name. Lends me to think that they might do all kinds of crazy things. Because, you know, those grand strategy titles, are pretty complex, and Paradox doesn't shy away from complexity in any of the games. So that could be really cool. Magicka 2, I know, is playable, so that's probably also could also be pretty fun. Witcher 3 will be there, but I'm not sure if they have a new demo of, or if it will be the same thing that they had during E3. I'm not quite sure. Or if maybe they will have a playable. That seems unlikely, although it's out in February, but so who knows. Playable Witcher would be pretty cool, I have to say. What else? What else? Devolver Digital, I know, is also there. They could be interesting. But yeah, lots of unknowns, to be honest. And like I said, updates and actual hands-on time. For some games, unlike E3, because some games were not playable. But will be here.
And I guess on the other end, we can get updates on games that probably won't be at Gamescom, but since, you know, the focus is on that, we'll probably get new trailers and information on certain titles.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think there will be some Metal Gear Solid thing I've heard from Kojima again. So I guess probably a new trailer.
Kojima's been everywhere. He seems to be hanging out with Jeff Keighley all the time these days.
Yeah, I heard they have some weird event going on with 2,000 people or something. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I have no idea. But you will be back next week and give us all your fancy impressions. Or does the event go to next weekend?
The event... So for me it will start on... Well, technically Tuesday, I guess, when the conferences are. But press day is Wednesday. And then I'll be there Wednesday through Friday. And then not on the weekend, because the weekend is crazy and all the press and behind-the-scenes stuff actually already leaves before the weekend starts. Because if you haven't been at Gamescom during the weekend, all I can say is, don't do it.
Yeah, it looks fucking mad.
Well, I would say, I would offer that advice to any con.
Yeah. Right?
Because that's the time when... most people tend to, that, cause, you know, the rest of us in the middle of the week, people don't tend to take off time, but the weekend everybody tends to be free.
Yeah.
San Diego and New York Comic Con, in my experience, are hectic as hell on Saturdays, because Sundays are smaller days, so people don't tend to go, or a lot of people go, but I know it's like half a day, but Saturdays are just insane. I believe last year, Saturdays for me are panel days at these conventions, because it means I don't have to walk the show floor, because you can't. But yeah, don't, if you can, go during the week, especially if they have like a preview night, because nobody's ever had the preview night.
Yeah. There's some stuff going on like outside of GameStop itself, as far as I know. For example, I got an email, apparently Epic Games invited lots of people from the area to an event on Saturday to check out, their weird game called again?
Fortnite,
exactly. To check out Fortnite. That's something they are doing. People that registered for, I think the alpha it was, so they checked where people are from and then just said, yeah, hey, you wanna come? Give
that's
us
awesome.
A thing and come by and you can play. That's actually kind of cool. So some people are doing stuff like that, even for people who might not get in or want to avoid the big crowd. So that's actually kind of cool. But yeah, avoid the weekend at all costs, I would say. Last year I actually witnessed when I came back from the Hyatt to the... because I had an appointment at the Hyatt, then I came back to the convention center, and then there were people out there with megaphones telling people, no, you can't come in right now, it's too full. You have to wait a couple of hours.
Oh, dear.
Jeez. I would be pretty pissed if I bought a ticket and couldn't get in.
Yeah. But anyhow, we're going to wrap for this week. Yeah, so for Jason, who stepped out at the end of that, Martin, Daniel, myself, this has been Dual Wielding episode 150. Bye.